Katie, who's sitting over there and was singing, Katie, just wave a second. Katie sent me an email this week about the Easter Bunny, and I thought it was so good I'd share it with you. A man is driving along the highway, and he sees a rabbit jump out across the middle of the road. Being a kind, caring man, he swerves to avoid hitting it, but unfortunately the rabbit jumps right in front of the car. The driver is a sensitive man, an animal lover, so he pulls over and gets out to see what's become of the rabbit. Much to his dismay, the rabbit is dead. The driver feels so awful that he begins to cry. At this very moment, a beautiful blonde woman driving down the highway sees this man crying on the side of the road, so she pulls over, steps out of the car, and asks the man what's wrong. "I feel terrible," he explained. "I accidentally hit this rabbit and killed it." But the blonde, being very clever, as blondes are, said, "Don't worry," and she ran to her car and produced a spray can. She walks over to the limp, dead rabbit, bends down, and sprays the contents of the can over the rabbit. The rabbit jumps up, waves its paw at the two of them, and hops off down the road. 10 feet away, the rabbit stops and waves its paw again. He hops down the road another 10 feet, waves again. He keeps doing this until he disappears out of sight. The man is astonished. He runs over to the woman and demands, "What is on that can? What did you spray on the rabbit?" The woman turned the can round so the man could read the label. "Hairspray restores life to dead hair and adds permanent wave." This is the fourth service meeting we've had at St. Paul's today. And every time we've met today, we've talked about the resurrection of Jesus. And we've had, I think, two communion services, a family service, or a Simon Coupon special it was this morning at 10:30. And so what more is there to say? What more can I add? And I just thought that I would try a slightly different approach tonight and look at what other people have said about Easter and about the resurrection. So that's what we're going to do, not for too long tonight. So the first one comes under the category of amusing. Now this was not contrary to rumour said by Sally Butler, our youth worker. She could have said it, but someone got in there first before. "All I really need is love, but a little chocolate now and then doesn't hurt." Anybody guess who said that? And it wasn't Sally. It wasn't Jesus either, no. Good guess, close, but not quite. Now that was Lucy Van Pelt, better known as Lucy in Peanuts by Charles Schultz, or Charles M. Schultz. So there's the amusing, and then there's the absolutely bizarre. This is a true quote. "You can have either the resurrection or you can have Liberace, but you can't have both." Liberace, for those who are very young, he was an American pianist and musician. He died in 1987. We don't have Liberace anymore, but we still do have the resurrection. That's why we're here today. And then there's the outrageous. The Right Reverend David Jenkins, at the time being Bishop of Durham in 1980, speaking on the biblical account of the resurrection, said, and I quote, "It was a conjuring trick with bones." I call that outrageous because he should know better. If he doesn't believe what he's supposed to believe, why doesn't he resign and become a bus driver or a taxi driver? But he's gone anyway. And interestingly, the present Bishop of Durham, Tom Wright, is one of the finest theologians in the country, isn't he, Simon? And Simon reads all his books, don't you, Simon?
No, I can't keep up.
But if you see a book by Tom Wright, the present Bishop of Durham, it's good stuff. So we've had the amusing, the bizarre, the outrageous, and offer you the uncertain. This gentleman said, "I was raised with the notion that it was okay to ask questions, and it was okay to say, I'm not sure. I believe, but I'm not quite so certain about the resurrection." This was said by a Canadian journalist and apparently a well-known American news anchor for the ABC, Peter Jennings. 2005, Peter Jennings died of lung cancer. So I guess now he knows what's going on, one way or the other. But he was uncertain. And I guess there are many people today, Sally gave me news of a poll that had been taken that says about 47% of people in this country believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But then it breaks down into whether it was a physical resurrection or a spiritual one or whatever. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. And then there's a surprising one. I've called this surprising because of who said this. Suggesting a married Jesus is one thing, but questioning the resurrection undermines the very heart of Christian belief. A very true statement. That was said by Dan Brown, author of Da Vinci Code and other such books. I find that surprising because I'd never seen anything in what Dan Brown's written or said that causes him to be concerned about Christian belief particularly. But there you go. Okay, so we move from those to the soundbite, I've called them. Clarence W. Hall, who can only be American with a name like that, said, "Easter says you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there." That's why we're here again tonight, because Jesus couldn't be kept by death, couldn't be kept in that tomb. And then a missionary said this, a missionary called Padre Sahib, who worked in India. His actual real name was Sam Higginbottom. I think I was glad, firstly, he was glad he got his name changed. He's a Welsh missionary in the last century in India. He said, "We have no tomb in Christianity because we have no corpse. Other religions have the places where their leader, their founder, died, and you can go and visit their tombs. There's no tomb in Christianity." And then again, the stone was rolled away not to permit Christ to come out, but to enable the disciples to go in. That was said by a guy called Peter Marshall, who was a former chaplain in the United States Senate, and a book and a film has been made about his life, a fine Christian man. So you've got sound bites. I don't mean sound bites in a bad sense, but in a positive sense. They, in a short sentence, encapsulate some truth. Then you've got the theological. Without the resurrection, the death of Christ was only the heroic death of a noble martyr. Didn't read that well, I'll try again. Without the resurrection, the death of Christ was only the heroic death of a noble martyr. That's what some people believe, isn't it? Jesus was a good man, a special man, did good things, kind man, a caring man. And he died as some sort of martyr for a cause. But if that's all it is, it's not enough. The resurrection, says Adrian Rogers. He is an American Southern Baptist pastor and author. He probably was the founder of the American Rite, the church in the States, that some of us, including the speaker, would have some concerns about their theology and their practice. But he said this, "The resurrection is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. It is the singular doctrine that elevates Christianity above all other world religions." And drawing from a very different example, this one is a quote by Hans Urs von Balthasar, a Swiss theologian and a Roman Catholic cardinal. So we've gone from Southern Baptist to Roman Catholic cardinal. That's a fairly big move in two slides. But saying some similar things. "If one does away with the fact of the resurrection, one also does away with the cross, for both stand and fall together. And one would have to find a new centre for the whole message of the gospel." So today is an important day, and it's something that is central to the Christian faith. And the biblical confirms this. I've got a quote to you from 1 Corinthians 15. The first one is from the New Living Translation, which is the one God wrote himself. It says, "If Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless." So close down the preaching. "And your faith is useless." And the same verse in the Message goes like this. "Face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything we've told you is smoke and mirrors. It's a trick, it's a fraud. And everything you've staked your life on is smoke and mirrors. Not only that, but we would be guilty of telling a string of barefaced lies about God." The Bible says, as those theological statements said a few moments ago, if the resurrection is not the truth, if Jesus has not been physically raised from the dead in triumph and victory over sin, sickness, Satan, every power and every force of evil in this world, then we're wasting our time. We might as well sell this building off. We might as well do something else with our Sundays and our midweek, and for some of us, every day of our life. Simon's got to go and find a new job. He'll have to be a historian. That was meant to be funny. And then I want to give you a quote now that I call the disturbing quote. I accept that some people here might not understand this. Don't worry if you don't understand it. I'm not sure I fully understand it, but it's caused me to think and think. I'll be interested to know what Simon Kuplan, as an historian, thinks about this statement. I tell you who said it, first of all. It was said by C.S. Lewis, which always makes me want to think about it. It's from his book, Miracles. It's on three slides. I'll read it slowly. The resurrection is the central theme in every sermon that's in the book of Acts. The resurrection and its consequences were the gospel or good news which the Christian brought. What we call the gospels, the narratives of the life and death of Jesus, were composed later for the benefit of those who had already accepted the gospel. They were in no sense the basis of Christianity. They were written for those already converted. The miracle of the resurrection and the theology of that miracle comes first. The biography comes later as a comment on it. Nothing could be more unhistorical than to pick out selective sayings of Christ from the Gospels and to regard them as the datum. I didn't know what that meant, so I've added single piece of information, because that's what it means, and the rest of the New Testament as a construction upon it. The first fact in the history of Christendom is the number of people who say they have seen the resurrection. If you didn't understand that, please don't worry. But if you did understand it, it just focuses how significant, it's done this for me, I think the resurrection is. That even all the stories about Jesus, which Lewis suggests are an explanation of the resurrection, they go back to fit all the pieces together that happened beforehand. But the first fact in the history of Christendom is the number of people who say they have seen the resurrection. As I've read recently, a number of information about the resurrection and people writing books about it, Christians writing books about it, they come back to the fact that the testimony of those first people who encountered the living Jesus after his death that's the key to understanding the resurrection. So that was the disturbing, and my last one is, I hope, challenging. I actually used this on the Sunday before Christmas to finish, because we were thinking then about a virgin birth. But the same applies. I can't tell you who said this because I can't find out who did. Despite our best efforts to keep him out, God intervenes. The life of Jesus is bracketed by two impossibilities, a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. Jesus entered our world through a door marked no entry and left through a door marked no exit. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know all of you in this room. I know some of you well, some of you I don't know at all. But you can't keep God out. He will keep probing. And he keeps challenging us with the most amazing things. You know, last year on our Alpha course, we had someone who was a full-blown paid-up member of the atheists group. Why he was doing Alpha, I'm not sure. He didn't come to learn, he came to bring his position, which was quite challenging and interesting for the group that happened to be in our group, didn't he, Lizzie? So Lizzie and I found it interesting. Lizzie's much cleverer than me, so she could argue with him or discuss with him, perhaps a better word. But the thing that one of the issues for him, the virgin birth, was impossible. Coming back to life after death, impossible. It doesn't happen. And the rational mind will keep saying that. But the Holy Spirit confirms to us that, in fact, it's true. And if it's not true, then we should all finish our cheese and our schlur and go home and never come back again. It's not true. And three of us are out of a job. Four of us. Sorry, Simon. Fiona doesn't get paid, so she doesn't get that out of a job at all. So I hope tonight you might just pick up. Sorry. Did I say something wrong to you then? Who do I think I am? It's all right. I know his father, so I'm not surprised of anything he says. No, it's just talk around tonight. Okay, That's what I wanted to say tonight. And I think we've got to sing again in a moment. But perhaps we shouldn't grab any more food if we're about to sing. Perhaps we should come and sing. We're going to sing the song, He's Risen. So we're going to affirm that our faith is in a living Saviour who's alive and well today.